Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Got a good show lined up for you today. Glad you're along for the ride. We're going to crank it up here in just a minute with good old Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show. Second half of today's program, we're going to have Reggie McGrew, former Gator defensive tackle, now on the street staff. Been there for quite some time here at the University of Florida. Talk to him a little bit about his career and what's going on campus. But first, let's head on over to the Titan MR hotline. We're joined by good old Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show. Good morning, Buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. Like you, I'm a little tired today, but I'm doing okay. Getting ready to get this draft going. Get it out of the way and move on.
Yeah, it's. I think a lot of people are excited about the draft. Before we get into the draft, Buddy, I want to bring up, do you follow baseball at all? Major League Baseball?
Well, I do, and I'm a little bit hacked off about it right now because I can't get the games, the Rays games. They won't be assigned for the package, and we usually get them free, and now Bally's got it, and they do it, and you get one game a week or something, and you got to sign up for the package, which I'll probably do, but I don't watch but maybe one game a week if I'm lucky, and I just don't feel like I need to pay for a package. I don't watch that much. But yeah, I follow it a little bit. I don't follow the whole game. I mean, I get things going. I follow a team.
Well, the reason I brought it up, I want to get your thoughts on this, and I'll tell you mine. You know, I think it was Sunday, Madison Bumgarner threw a seven-inning no-hitter
against
the Braves in a doubleheader.
Right.
But he's not – it doesn't go down in the history books as throwing a no-hitter because it didn't go nine innings.
Right.
What are your thoughts? I personally think it should be a no-hitter because Major League Baseball scheduled the game for seven innings. It's not like it was a rainout or anything like that. They scheduled it for seven innings. He pitched all seven, did not give up a hit. In my opinion, that is a no-hitter. What does Buddy Martin think?
Well, I come from the world of asterisk when the Roger Maris issue was going on with Babe Ruth, you know, where they said, well, he played more games, et cetera. And let's say this about baseball. They're certainly Neanderthal in their thinking, but they do preserve history. And the measuring sticks are like no other sport. I mean, what does it mean to hit 400? It still means something special. And I get the purest angle on it. They say, hey, wait a minute. You can't do it that way. Well, guess what? It's going to change because I think the rules changes were good. I even like the second man on second base in extra innings. I mean, I know you got to do something about the time. It's not a popular decision. So my answer is if those are the rules, then yes, it's a no-hitter. Every game will have to have an asterisk saying seven innings. It is what it is.
Well,
so
they said it's not a no-hitter because it didn't go nine. But it's not his fault it didn't go nine. It's what Major League Baseball scheduled the game for seven innings. It should be a no-hitter, in my opinion.
I agree. I got one for you real quick. Kevin Cashier, I think, is a brilliant manager, by the way. Former Noel, by the way. And a guy that I think is really, I mean, all the stuff they've, funky stuff they've done over the years at the shift, and they've been successful with it. He's got an unusual thing. He starts a guy for three innings and yanks him. Mm-hmm. And then his middle reliever is like a starter, you know. So my question is, should the guy get the win after three innings? I mean, that's a question, too, you start looking at it. Well, it's totally different. So things change. I guess you have to adapt. I would say that it's a no-hitter. That's my opinion.
Yep. all right, we're going to move on to real quick, buddy. Look, we're going to talk draft, but we just got a text. Oh, not a text, but we got a Facebook Live brought to you by Melon Law. My eyes are going so bad, I got to put my glasses on. John says, Shane has been preaching facilities for a while now. I've probably been preaching for about 10 years on about every talk show there is.
I'm tired of hearing about it, Shane. Really,
he said last night we got a sneak peek into the new football-only facility. Wow, that thing is going to be nice. Yeah, it is. It's going to be phenomenal, and it's something that we have needed for quite some time. Speaking of that, did you get to see the special? I did not, buddy. What did you think about it?
Well, I watched it for an hour. I'm going to watch the other half, maybe. I really thought it was a lot of hype. It was really an infomercial. If that's what you want out of it, yeah, get a look at the new facilities. Of course, they're fantastic. Why wouldn't they be? And it still doesn't catch them up yet. And I get this. These things, I'm not criticizing Florida, but let me just talk about the special if I can. It was what I've seen so far is an hour and 10 minutes of 2 hours. It is pure unadulterated hype. I mean, look, if you like hype, you'll like it. If you don't, I don't want to hear over and over again, it's my school and my program, whatever, how great the Florida program is. And it is good. And, you know, the whole line about top 10 university, top 10 football team, maybe not this year, et cetera, that's all good. They're getting your message out. It's a great recruiting video, but it's not real television, okay? Now, if you want to see Anthony Richardson's row, and I did, that was good to see that. If you want to get a look at a few guys on the hoof, you can't really tell because there's no real contact. You know, it's just a hodgepodge. And so, but it does look great. It's about time. And as you said, you've been saying it for 10 years. You've been saying about that what I've been saying about the playoff committee. So I've been saying it 30 years, the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you've been saying it 10. So, yeah, I think it's was good looking. They will catch up. They will at some point have a terrific facility. But let's not kid ourselves. Part of what was on last night was to sort of make up for the fact that Florida's lagging in that department.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see it. So, you just made a statement that, you know, you wanted to see Anthony Richardson throw all this kind of stuff. That's fine and dandy. You know they're not going to put anything on that tape where he makes a bad throw, buddy.
No, of course not.
Yeah, so that I mean, I didn't get to see it. Like you said, if hopefully it was good for the school or whatever, I still think fans would have rather had seen a spring game, even though you can't take much out of a spring game.
No doubt about it. You're exactly right. And by the way, it's just a way of compensating for not having a spring game. And by the way, I watched the Alabama spring game, and I enjoyed it, by the way. It was pretty relevant, I thought.
Well, I thought the best part of the spring game for Alabama was having Nick Saban mic'd up. He was hilarious. Dan says on Facebook Live, here brought to you by Mellon Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. He says, Vanderbilt's spending $300 million on their facilities. UF needs to keep looking forward to. Don't settle after this football facility is done. Always a catch-up game. I will promise you this. Scott Strickland is on the ball when it comes to facilities. Just go to Starkville, Mississippi. Check out what they have going on there.
Yeah.
He will stay on top of it. Brandon says he thought it was better than watching a spring game, watching that program last night.
Have both.
So, anyway, buddy, refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. April's your lucky month at Wrap Spot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with Buddy Martin here, you can check him out every Monday through Friday on Facebook Live around 9 p.m. Eastern. Has a lot of good guests on there as well. And then the second portion of today's program, we're joined by former Gator Reggie McGrew. Before we jump into the draft and stuff, buddy, speaking of the NFL, did you see where they passed this numbers rule?
I did.
Okay. I'm a numbers guy, and I understand how important numbers are to players. But what they've done to some of these NFL stars is totally ridiculous, in my opinion. I don't know if you heard, but Dalvin Cook wears number 33 for the Minnesota Vikings. He wore 4 at Florida State. He probably wore 4 at high school. He wanted to change his number to 4 because now if people aren't aware – when I played, all receivers had to be in the 80s. Right. Running backs had to be from like the 20s through the 40s. Only people that could wear teens were quarterbacks and kickers and punters.
Right.
Well, now any linebacker or defensive back can wear 1 through 49 or 1 through 49. Mm-hmm. Same with skill guys on offense. So Dalvin wanted to change his number to number 4. But I don't know if it's in the NFLPA or collective bargaining agreement or something. Fanatics, who does all the jerseys, they sell them online or whatever. He would have to pay retail price for all Dalvin Cook jerseys that are still in inventory in order for him to be able to change his number. And that was $1.5 million. which I think is totally ridiculous. That is why, I mean, he should not have to pay for that. It's his choice. He should wear whatever number. I don't give a damn how many jerseys are sitting in a factory on a shelf at Fanatics. I think it's ridiculous. I don't like them changing the number thing in the NFL because you're going to see linebackers wear number 6 and things like that. But don't you think that's ridiculous, buddy, that he wants to change his number, but he has to pay that price?
Well, I mean, he probably got some – they struck a deal. I mean, what is it? I mean, is that part of his contract?
No. It's just not Dalvin Cook. It's anybody.
I understand. Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I'm part of the NFLPA. Here's the thing. Fanatics would sell more jerseys once he gets his new number. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, because the people that bought it before are going to buy it again. Here's the other thing. If you get traded to another team and you're a superstar, what are they going to do with those old jerseys that are sitting on the shelf? You don't have to pay for those when you go to a new team and get a new number. I just think it's ridiculous. And I can't believe they were going to make Dalvin Cook pay that amount of money to change his number.
Well, I agree with that. I don't really understand. I read the story. Here's the thing I don't understand. They can basically unretire any jersey they want to, right? Did any of these numbers?
Again?
They can unretire any jersey.
Correct. So the reason they say that they're going to the smaller digits is because numbers are being retired. But I'm not a believer in retired numbers because I know how important it is to players that you can put up on a wall or somewhere this number, like say number 11, because it was retired. 11, I think 55 used to be retired at Florida. Spurrier came here, unretired it. But you can still honor that number for whoever the greats played with that. I don't know if I ever told you the story, buddy, about Sonny Jurgensen. So I wore number 9 my whole career. Spurrier signs me. The equipment guys call you, and they say, okay, we got your number 9. You know, what size shoulder pads? Do you want to bring your shoulder pads from Chicago? All that. What size shoe do you wear? What contract? Are you in Nike, Reebok, Spot Built, whatever it is? I said, well, I want to wear number 9. And the equipment guy, Brad Berlin, he goes, well, it's not retired, but you may want to check with Sonny Jurgensen on that. He was the color guy on the radio.
Yeah, I remember Sonny well.
I said, give me Sonny's number. I'm going to call him because that's how important numbers are to people. Mm-hmm. So I called Sonny. I talked to him. He's like, yeah, man, it'd be great to see number 9 back out there at the quarterback position. Just go. We'd have a 30-minute conversation. Mm-hmm. Next morning, I wake up. I get bombarded with phone calls from people from the Washington Post and all these places because Sonny is pissed off that the Redskins didn't retire number 9. So he calls the Washington Post people, the reporters like the Buddy Martins of the world, and complains publicly that I'm going to be wearing number 9 after he just gave me permission to wear it. So I said, to hell with it. I'm going to wear an upside down number 9. I'm going to wear 6. And so that's why I wore 6. But it pissed me off because it made me look bad. But I asked permission. He said it would be fine. So I don't know where I'm going with these number things, but it's important to players.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It's ridiculous that they're going to charge. They want to charge Dalvin Cook $1.5 million for the jerseys that are sitting on a shelf in a warehouse.
We'll probably go to a system like the car tags when they back in used to have the day where they had just counting numbers. Like Marion was always 14 and Elijah was 11. Now they've gone to this system where you have letters and numbers. So you go 9A, 9B, 9C.
Yeah.
But I get it. And it's funny, by the way, just real quick, Sonny, I saw him play with number 9 many times because way back in the day, the only games we could get was the Washington Redskins down there. But Sonny, I remember the first time Coach Spurrier played in the game, Sonny was doing the radio. And I remember him talking about Spurrier, seeing him the first time saying, so it was a ball kind of sidearm. I don't know if I like that or not. Now, Sonny can fling it. I will say that. But, hey, you're right. It's a territorial imperative.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Okay, so enough of that. But the draft is coming up Thursday night. Yep. Buddy, I know you're excited. What are your thoughts coming into the draft?
Well, I'm just trying to understand the hodgepodge, disinformation. I've been reading up on stuff, trying to figure out where everybody's going to go. Last night I thought I saw an Athletic story of all the writers, the Athletics and their draft. And when you looked at that, you didn't see a Kadarius Toney's name anywhere in the first round and a half. And you see the other places as being first-round draft choice. I don't know if Kadarius will be a first-round pick or not. The last thing I saw, the most relevant, was that he was likely to be taken in the lower first round. But you know what? Like we said on my show last night, Shane, it only takes one renegade, one GM, one something. And everybody's sitting there looking at Kyle Shanahan saying, what is he doing? And the thing about it is, the problem is that we don't know for sure if the Redskins are, the 49ers are going to take Mac Jones. It looks that way. But that will determine a lot right there. And I'm not sure. I think Kyle Pitts will be a Falcon, but they may trade out of it. You know, so till this happens, there's going to be some things happening, last-minute trades. Mac Jones really should not be that high, in my opinion. And we've talked about it on this show and my show. Look at the two quarterbacks, look at Trask, and look at Mac Jones and tell me that one, there's that much difference in it, in my opinion. So it depends upon what flavor you like. So I'm going to wait to see. I'll be anxious to see in the first round on Thursday. You know the schedule. I know it's the first rounders on Thursday, and then Friday we get into the other rounds. I'm not sure how long we go before we get into the fifth and sixth rounds. But I think we're looking, obviously, at what happens to Mac Jones because it's relevant to what happens to the four pick in of course, Kyle Pitts. And then, of course, where Tony goes and where Trask goes. Projections I've seen lately have Trask going in a mid a second, bottom of the second round, even a high third, and Tony going either in a high second or low first, and we'll see what happens to Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, it's you just never know what NFL scouts and coaches are looking for, buddy. I hear a lot about your argument. You know, Trask was a better player in college than Mac Jones. They're two different. They're a little different, in my opinion. I think Mac is extremely fundamentally sound with his feet. Obviously, if your feet are outstanding, you're usually going to be a very accurate passer. And he's got the all-time leading passer rating and completion percentage in the history of the game. Trask is a big dude who's standing there. I think a lot of people compare him to Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know about the arm strength, but it doesn't matter. So it's. You know, I do think Mac Jones is going to go to the 49ers, which I think is a little high for him. You know, that they say there's the with five quarterbacks we think are going to go in the first round.
Yeah,
you're probably going to have one that turns out to be maybe a Hall of Famer. The other, you could have three, maybe just so-so guys. But you're going to have one of those five is usually going to be a bust, right? Be out of the league in 3 or 4 years. So we shall see. That's just what the percentages tell you. So it's hard to say. Kadarius Toney, I'll be surprised if he goes in the first round. Like I told you, I think he's one of the most improved players I ever saw go from year to year. He'll be a guy that can last in the NFL as long as he stays healthy. So we'll see. I'm anxious to see what happens with Kyle Pitts is what I'm really interested in, buddy, because if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I take him. I don't give a dang what happens. What are they picking fourth?
Yeah.
So you know that the top two quarterbacks are going to be gone. Matt Ryan to me is still a pretty good player. He's 35 years old.
For a couple of years, he's got 2 years more in his contract.
Well, okay, so he's 35. Brady's like 42, right? So you're looking at – I mean, Matt Ryan hasn't missed a lot of time due to injuries that I'm aware of. I'm not a Falcons fan. I don't follow him.
No, so he hasn't.
They have some weapons, and in that NFC South with the Saints, with Breeze being gone, you still got Brady. You're going to have Sam Darnold there in Carolina now that, you know, Joe Brady likes to throw it around. So it's more of an offensive generated division. So I think the Falcons would be just absolutely crazy not to take Kyle Pitts.
I would too, because he's going to be a difference maker. But that's us Raider fans. And what we have to understand is every team, you know this, you played in the league, we look at it as like it's a judgment about the quality of the player. Yeah, it is, but it's also about what they need. And the question is, do the Falcons need somebody to back up Matt Ryan to sit? Trey Lance, who could it be? You can get a quarterback later. They can get a quarterback later in the second round. A guy like Trask could be available there in the second round. Who's going to sit anyway? I don't know, but it depends on what your needs are and what you want. And I think it's going to be, I think somebody's going to really score big with Kyle Pitts. Whoever gets him will say, boy, are we glad we got that guy.
Yeah, he's, I mean, we've talked about it for countless hours. He's a unique player that we've probably never seen anybody like him ever again. Buddy, the college football playoff committee, what's going on? Are they trying to expand finally after they've heard Buddy Martin bang on the door for 70 years?
Yeah, they're tuned in to me every minute. I tell you this much, they're thinking about it because they know now, we've discussed this 100 times, they got to do something soon. It just doesn't work. The system they got doesn't work. It's really costing college football because it's the same old teams every year. People want something new in there, even if they're just in for a round. I'm going to go. I was saying this morning, Shane, is there a way? And you're pretty creative. Is there a way to say take 10 teams? I know it's an odd number. I'm thinking, is there a way to play one game on campus? Could you have the first round be a play-in game and have the two teams playing in on the bet team with the best record? Have a game in whatever, Auburn, Alabama, or have a game in the Rose Bowl or whatever, or some site, Boise. I don't care what maybe have a playing game on campus because on camp, Matt. Now I'm told that I'm crazy. Matt Hayes told me last night, this will never work. I said, don't tell me that. They told us we couldn't schedule games except 5 years in advance. And look what they did this year. They scheduled it in a week. So you can change things. Still, well, they'll never have second semester football. Well, make the damn semesters longer. I mean, I don't know what you can do this. You can change all these things. My point is, I know that's an absurd comment. But they got to make it different, and they got to make it – they can't sit back and say, well, we're not sure. We'll think about that one for a couple of years. It's time to change. So I'm glad they're talking about it. I know they're thinking about it. They're giving us this malarkey about, well, anywhere from 6 to 16 teams. I don't know. What's your scenario? I want a play-in game, and then I want those other teams to play and want an on-campus game, and then use the bowl games for the playoffs, because let's be honest, the bowl games are going by the bye. Those can be for the other division, because this is where it has to go. I've been saying it for three decades. This is where football has got to go in college. I got a great game. I got a chance to have a fantastic season, playoff, whatever. Now don't screw it up. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they expand it as well. I don't know what the right way of doing it is, whether, as you mentioned, a few on-campus games, and then you go to the bowl games that are tied into the playoffs. I want to keep the bowl games, buddy. I like the history.
You're keeping the bowl games.
Yeah. I just don't know the right way of doing it, but I want to keep all the bowl games. I just think that's something that kids will remember the rest of their lives. And then you have the playoff games tied into that. You're going to see some blowouts because that's just what we've seen in the 4-team playoff. We've seen a bunch of blowouts. Who cares? It is what it is. College football right now is very top heavy. As I said on your show last night, buddy, it's almost like women's college basketball. You know, there's usually three teams in America that you can pretty much say one of these three teams is going to win the national title in women's basketball. Mm-hmm. It's usually like Connecticut, Baylor, and South Carolina. I don't even know who. Well, this year was a surprise. I think Stanford won it. So until we get a little more parity in college football, because right now it's basically Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama that are in the hunt every year. Yeah. And I think some teams are closing that gap. But I don't care if you got blowouts in the playoffs. I want to see expanded for teams to have an opportunity. So I'm all for it. I don't know. When are they talking about it possibly happening?
Couple years. And Shane, remember this. Football is still a regional sport, okay? You drink beer, right? Mm-hmm. You ever had a Rolling Rock? Where's it from? You ever had a Coors? All these are regionals, but they're all regional flavors. Football is the same way. It's different. It ain't the same in the Pac-12, okay? You're having to carry them along. I know the Rose Bowl's out there. I get the rivalry. But if you take the very things, I'm going to go get on my soapbox for 30 seconds. Take the very things that makes college football great, which are rivalries, regional rivalries. It's the crowds, the color, the drama, the pageantry. And you distill it down to some stupid formula they do with college football. They're going to screw it up. Take what you got in the game. Take the heart and soul of the game. including on-campus games, et cetera, and make it better. Make the bowl games. Don't have any more opt-outs. Think about it. How could you have a major bowl game with opt-out players? If you're playing in the playoffs, they're going to be there. I don't care if you have to have 16 teams. Keep it like it is from the standpoint of the rivalry, the flavor, the local passion, and the regions. They got to do this and not screw it up.
I agree 100%. At Comfort Temp, comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. From now until May 31st, get your preventative maintenance plan for $169 and save almost 40% off the normal cost. Also, any maintenance schedule between now and May 31st, you will be entered to win a Nest thermostat installation. This day in sports, speaking of the draft in 2017, the first pick of the draft went to the Cleveland Browns, and they selected Texas A&M defensive end Miles Garrett. So Trevor Lawrence will be joining him as a first overall pick, and that's This Day in Sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Lauren Meadows says here on Facebook Live, buddy, 8 teams and you can still keep the bowls. On-campus games will force southern teams to go north and northern teams to come south. I don't know if I like that, though, Park. I don't think these southern teams want to go up there in that cold. At least I would.
Yeah, well, that's why I make the bowls successful. Let's not forget about it, okay? It's Pete Rozelle's genius when he designed the Super Bowl, put it in a good climate. People want to come. It's the reason that the bowl system was built, BCS was built, because weather, presence, New Orleans, Atlanta, Miami, people want to go there. People don't want to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan in December. I'm sorry. That's just the fact. So you can do it all. Just got to do it right. So,
yeah, we're speaking with Buddy Martin here on the Titan No More Hotline. A few more minutes with him. Then we'll be joined by Reggie McGrew, former defensive lineman for the Gators, was on that national championship team in 96, working on the staff now at UF. Buddy, before we let you go, we got to talk our little segment about golf. Did you get to see any of the team competition this week in New Orleans?
Yeah, don't forget, let me remind you about my trip I had to the ball coach's restaurant, too, before
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bring that up. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Tell me your thoughts on golf.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was pretty boring. First of all, there were no Americans in the finals, so I watched it. I don't think people understood it was a Ryder Cup format. I come from a background of golf where they had something called the Stableford system, and for 15 years I tried to explain what it was to people, and they still didn't understand it. You know, it's metal plate, still the way to go. I know it's a team thing. It's a baby Ryder Cup, whatever. I like the – but it was really hard to understand it, and when you get down to the final pairings – I mean, let's be honest. How many people are rooting for South Africa over Australia? It just doesn't work in this country. I know.
I didn't get to see any of it. I saw the only part of the golf I saw this week was the playoff, the last hole in sudden death.
Yeah, it was fun.
But it was just alternating shot the whole tournament, right?
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah, Billy Horschel and his partner Sam Burns only were like 2 shots back. But yeah, the South Africans, Louis Oosthuizen, on the first playoff hole. He decided to hit it dead right into the water.
And still hasn't won in his country. He's got a player as he is. His wife flew all the way over. No, he's never won here. Oosthuizen. It was marginally interesting. It's something different. I know the tour needs that, but I just thought it was just average. I didn't watch the whole thing. So I had to watch it because there were no Rays baseball game on Saturday. So the ball code. How about look. I am all – I know this sounds like a commercial. I'm sorry if it does. But the fact is, if you haven't been, when you go – and you know you have – when you go to Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, people ask, where is it? Just south of Gainesville. You're going to be so impressed at every detail. I've never seen a restaurant like that.
I told you, buddy. You did.
And you're right. We had a Marin County tour up there. Thanks to Freddie for arranging that. And the mayor came and the Gator Bay Lighthouse people came. Lauren Meadows was one of them. Ask him, he'll tell you. It was a fabulous experience. We had ball coach give him birthday cake. He and Cassidy Hill from Gator Bay had the same birthday. And Chris Spears, we gave him birthday cake. Then we went around. I mean, you will be blown away by the detail right down to the ball plays on the men's room.
They're in the ladies' room too, buddy.
And Well, you had to do both. So that's good.
Yes,
really good.
Speaking of that, you know, for any of our listeners that have anybody in the Gainesville area that may think they may be interested in working there, they're still trying to hire top-notch people. I think you just go to Coach Spurrier's website and you can set up an interview. But I know they're still looking for a few more servers, cooks. I'm not really sure.
I think it's a whole commercial, which I play every night, about it. And you go to the website, and I hope someone will give it to us. I think it's Spurrier Draft, whatever. And they need all kinds of help. Thank you.
Spurrier's Draft.com.
Thank you. There he is, right there. There is the background. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I know this is like pure hype, but the fact is, this is really a cool place. Shane, I think I'm going to retire to advisors upstairs. I just want to sit in one of those Adirondack chairs, sit up there in that climate control or retractable roof place and get some of those. If you haven't had them, I've had something that some people haven't had, including you. I've had some of the foods, and it is a secret weapon there. I had a little grit cake with shrimp on top of it. I've had a little taste of the lamb, the salad. I can't wait to see the rest of the food, including mysterious cookies, which they're going to be one of the features.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, you've had those. You've had them a few times, right?
Yes, I did. So, all right, buddy, who you got on the show tonight?
Well, tonight is a double coverage, and Cassidy Hill is the co-host. But we have a guest. I do a little guest shot for Frank Frenzy is going to be on with me tonight. We're going to talk about Jaguars draft, and then Graham Hall will be pinch hitting in the role tonight with Cassidy, and we've got the debut of a really young star on the making. Hopefully, she is a product. She's recommended by Laura Ruthers, and Maddie Schmidt tonight will be on. You're going to love Maddie. She's a good reporter. She's a senior. She'll be on the show tonight with her report on Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. So watch it tonight. We're on at 9 o'clock. We are every night right here on the Buddy Martin Show.
All right. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate it, my man. We're going to take our first time out of the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by former Gator defensive lineman Reggie McGrew. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime.
Get some rest, Shane. Get some rest.
All right, I'm going to try, buddy. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Darshakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we're doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
For all type of restaurant people, managers, servers, bartenders, hosts, cooks, dishwashers, bussers, if you think you're good in the restaurant business, then give us a call.
Spurrier's Gridiron Grill job fair is open now through May 15th. All you have to do is go to spurriersdraft.com and fill out an application.
We're looking for the good team members, and we're looking for people with a wonderful attitude that can make Spurrier's Gridiron Grill the best we can possibly be. To apply, go to spurriersdraft.com.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Regal Cinemas, Dave & Buster's, Le Macaron, Sushi Hana, Bass Pro Shop, and coming June of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, and Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan MR Hotline, and we're going to be joined by a guy that did a lot of celebrating. Maybe I would say he. I guess he's the second most famous guy out of Mayo, behind the throwing Mayo and Kerwin Bell. It's Reggie McGrew. Good morning, Reggie. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Shane, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. Reggie, well, we're going to go back to your younger days growing up there in Mayo and attending Lafayette High School. You know, I ask all the former players when they come on here, were you always a Gator fan? What other schools did you look for or look at and almost go to? Or were you just going to be a Gator no matter what?
No, it was kind of funny with Mayo being almost halfway in between Gainesville and Tallahassee. I went to a lot of Florida and Florida State games. But the biggest thing, me coming out of high school, I actually committed to Florida State and shut down the recruiting process and didn't even take my official visit here to the University of Florida. So I was committed to Florida State coming out of high school. My dad went to school there as well. And so, yeah, it was, you know, real close to me being a Seminole instead of a Gator. So,
well, I didn't realize that your dad went there. You also played for your dad in high school. I played for my dad in high school. I know how that is. You get your ass chewed out a bunch. Did your dad chew old Reggie out a few times?
Oh, absolutely. I remember Friday nights after games, and, you know, he would review film on Saturdays, and I made sure I was not at home during that time when he was watching the film for the night before us. So, but, yeah, definitely, you know, coached me really, really hard, but it made me a better player.
Yep. So, as you said, you were committed to Florida State. What coach from Coach Spurrier's staff back then recruited the Mayo area, and what made you flip your decision?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is Charlie Strong was still on staff, and he's the one that recruited me. And back then, like with Coach Spurrier, he wanted guys who wanted to be a part of the program to come. So, I mean, if you said you didn't want to, you know, come, whatever, he wasn't the type of guy that was just going to chase you, you know. And I just kind of remember sitting in class and thinking about, like, when I would go to Florida State games, you know, I mean, back then the ACC was just Florida State and, you know, everybody else. So, I mean, they were beating people by 50 points every week. And, you know, but the energy is just so different here at the University of Florida when I would go to games in Gainesville. And I was like, okay, I think I'd rather play, you know, in that atmosphere instead of at Florida State.
Well, I think the Gator Nation is glad you did that. So, Reggie, you came from Mayo. I want to say, I think they're 1A football. I don't know what they were back when you played. Yeah. And I know you redshirted your first year, I believe, in 95. Mm-hmm. What was it like, wow, this is different kind of ball right here? Did it take you a while to get adjusted to it?
Well, the biggest thing for me when I first got there was I had some academic issues where one of my classes I took in high school, I think it was maybe 19th grade, back when they had the clearinghouse or something like that, and they didn't want to count it. So I was actually ineligible until we fought back and forth. And by the time I got my eligibility back, it was the seventh or eighth game of the season. And Coach Spurrier still wanted me to play, but luckily my defensive line coach, Coach Broadway, was like, look, I'm not going to, you know, waste a whole year for you for just like, you know, like four football games. So,
yeah. Speaking of that, I think, you know, if you were playing ball nowadays, they'd go ahead and waste those three games and make you play at the end. It's crazy because kids coming in now, and we'll talk about what you're doing now, but kids, they expect to only be here for 3 years and go play pro ball. That's what they all think. All right. So Ray, let's talk about, you were part of the 96 national championship team. And I ask everybody that was a part of a national title team that comes on my show, if we played a three-team round robin between the 96 crew, the 06 and the 08, who's going to win?
I got to go with my guys, the 96 guys. And the reason I say that is I think, honestly, we threw the ball a lot still then, but I mean, obviously, we have some good quality running backs. We have Fred Taylor. And then I think defensively, we could have played with any of those teams. I mean, we still had guys where we had like Mike Peterson and Javon Kirchner in the same position. So you got two guys that are quality guys that should be on the field all the time that are, you know, splitting time. So, I think, like I say, all those teams were really, really, really good teams. You know, had, you know, good quarterbacks and stuff like that. But like I said, I got to go with my guys. So.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a 96 guy myself. I don't know if it's because my coach was coaching that team, but boy, there was a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. So when you look back at your career, Reggie, Is there one moment that stands out in your mind as like the greatest moment you had as a Gator?
Like I say, winning the national championship by far was, you know, was a really nice moment. I think during that season, I just remember where we made a run. I think all SEC games where it was literally beating teams by, you know, I mean, I think we beat, maybe it was LSU for homecoming, like 56-10 or something like that. And I just remember just how well our team was gelled at the time. And just, I mean, honestly, it got to the point where practice was the hard part. The game started to be easy because of the level of talent that we were playing against every day at practice. So the games were easy.
Yeah, that is very true. Who did you like playing against the most when you were here? You know, back, I want to say, yeah, Tennessee was a huge, huge game in the 90s. Obviously, we had a lot of success, as you did, against Georgia. Did you prefer playing against Tennessee, Georgia, or Florida State? What game was, like, your most fun to play in?
I enjoyed playing in the Florida State game, but I actually liked going to Knoxville to play. I mean, I like I said, back in the 96 year, I remember it was, I think, 31-3 at halftime. I think we had maybe two defensive touchdowns. I think Bates had an interception. I mean, it was like crazy. And but I just remember just something about me. I loved it. Being on the road, their fans being excited, and then you just take the life out of the stadium. So,
yeah, we got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Mel and Law. Joe says, Reggie supporting Batesy's art. Love the show, man. Yeah, the swamp.
Shout out to Bate. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question. So you get drafted by the 49ers. When you went to the NFL, as I said, you know, it's a big jump for high school guys when they come on campus. Mm-hmm. What was, I guess I want to say, the most shocking thing to you when you became a NFL player? Was it the speed of the game, the size of the guys on the offensive line, how fast they moved? What was it?
Probably for me, it was just defensively, just the scheme that we ran, just the different checks that could go back and forth. Because when I first got there, it was a really veteran team. So, I mean, on defense, we had guys that had been in the league for, you know, 10-plus years, you know, with Tim McDonald, Merton Hanks, Lee Woodall. So those guys, I mean, have been in the defense for a while. And so it was a massive playbook, and it was, you know, just adjusting that was the hardest part, you know, to deal with first getting there.
Didn't Terry Jackson get drafted with you?
Yeah. We actually lived together our rookie year. So, so I think he was in the fifth round that year. And,
In your NFL days, you know, I've always had a couple places that I love playing at. And Green Bay is my favorite because there's nothing like Lambeau Field, the tradition, and it just reminds me of a college atmosphere. Was there one road ballpark that you enjoyed going to play for when you were at the 49ers?
I'm kind of with you. I kind of like Green Bay because it kind of gave you like that college feel and different things like that. And I guess probably for me being out on the West Coast, it was kind of wild. Every year we have to play the Raiders, whether it's
that's true too. The Black Hole was crazy.
Yeah, preseason. So that was different. So yeah. So
okay. So after your college career, you took some time off, I guess. But for people that aren't familiar, you're part of the strength staff here at the University of Florida. Been here about five years or so. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you always wanted to, you know, you're a coach's son. Did you ever want to be a coach, or do you just like the part of working with the kids in the off season, during the season, in the weight room?
I enjoy the part of working with the kids because I feel like I've never really had a desire, you know, to coach. I mean, but I always thought about, like, when I played, the relationship that I had with, like, some of the strength coaches that I had, you know, because what a lot of people don't realize, those kids spend a lot of time. I mean, you almost see them almost every day. So, you know, coaches get out on the road and they're gone for a couple months recruiting, you know, vacation, different things like that. But with your strength staff, you see them, you know, pretty much every day. So that's kind of the route I wanted to, you know, to get back into it with. So,
yeah. And, you know, I don't think people realize strength coaches, you know, there are, I don't believe there are any like rules. Y'all are with them all year long. Probably y'all are with them more than their position coaches or Coach Mullen. Talk a little bit about, you know, I mean, I don't want to make comparisons, but, you know, you hear so much about Nick Savage. His, I don't want to call it, most strength coaches are crazy. Let's be honest. You know what I'm saying? What the biggest difference was when he came in with Dan Mullen, because you were here with the previous staff as well. Is it just philosophy, or what was the biggest difference?
I think the biggest difference was just different philosophy, but just attention to detail and just more dialed in and just demanding it out of the guys. And once that was done, the guys started seeing results and they liked it. You know, I mean, guys like saying, feel like, okay, I'm strong. I feel bigger. I feel, you know, so that was just the biggest thing that they were able to come in and do, was just kind of change the mindset of what was going on, you know, in the weight room. So
we got a text here on the Titan Mark text line. It comes from Larry. Larry wants to know who made the biggest gain so far in the weight room for the Gators.
Oh, geez. So many different guys. I mean, I would probably have to say, biggest gains. I'm trying to think of what I've heard, because we all have different positions that we coach in the weight room. I'm mainly with defensive linemen, so all day.
Well, I guess just who made the biggest gains from a D-line standpoint?
I say from a defensive lineman, we have a defensive end named Princely. I can't say his last name, but anyway, So he's, I think he's up to probably about 270 pounds right now. Kid can squat like well over 500 pounds, close to 600 pounds. So he would be a kid I would say probably made a huge jump, you know, as far as this offseason in the weight room. So.
Reggie, does it amaze you now when you see these kids coming in from high school, how mm-hmm. big and how strong they are? Because it just, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm not around football players, because when you're playing, you don't really notice the size of kids. You know, you get in the huddle, you know, you may have a 6'6", 330-pound right and left tackle, but you don't really think about it. But when you're out of the game and you see these guys, you're like, good gracious, those are some big mm-hmm. jokers. They're just getting bigger and stronger coming out of high school these days, aren't they?
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, a perfect example of that is, I mean, he'll be a sophomore this year, but Gervon Dexter, I mean, that's a kid coming out of high school who's 6'6", 310 pounds. I mean, I just would think about, okay, if you saw that in high school with a kid that big, you know, playing, I mean, but like you said, definitely, I mean, it's kids that look like they're maybe 280 pounds, you get them on a scale that 320 pounds. So, I mean, yeah. Definitely, a lot bigger kids definitely come.
So I'm anxious to know this. We had somebody text on the Titan Mark text line and ask, you know, from a strength standpoint, you're with the kids a lot, but you don't have to go to all the position meetings, correct? Y'all have staff meetings as a staff or the strength staff, but when it comes to football related stuff, y'all are not a part of that, correct?
No, we're not. So once we, like, you know, we do our workout, we do a deal, we'll attend like team meetings, different things. But once they go into positional meetings and stuff like that, we're done. And obviously at practice, we're there to get the guys warmed up and whatever they need during practice. So
now that spring ball is over, kind of let our fans know kind of like a daily routine from now until fall practice starts for an athlete at Florida.
Okay, so like right now, they just finished the spring semester. So it's actually, you know, while I'm at home now, so we, you know, have some downtime. So they'll go 2 weeks and then they'll start summer A, and we'll probably go like a 4 to 5 week cycle from about May 17th to June 20th or so, where we'll do a 4 to 5 week cycle, go train with them. Then they'll have another week off between summer A and summer B, and they'll come back early part of July after the week off, and then they'll go like another 4 to 6 week cycle, a little bit of time off before we start camp, and that's right into the season. So
when you look at the defensive line, I thought last year we had some guys, I think, played out of position. I felt like we were kind of light there. Do you think the two transfers, the big dude from Auburn and from Penn State, will help us this year?
Well, I definitely think so. I mean, those guys, I mean, I have both of them, like I said, this offseason. I mean, really, you know, big, strong guys that, you know, obviously played, you know, a lot of football. So, you know, just that experience will definitely help, you know, and help provide depth for our team. So, but yeah, I think those guys will definitely keep pickup for us. And that allows, I think, for you to be flexible with a guy like Zach Carter, where he can play inside and outside. So,
Reggie, I believe when you're not working guys out at UF or on the practice field, you're in a lot of gyms with your daughter, who is a phenomenal volleyball player. I think she's still only a ninth grader, right?
Eighth grader.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard wonderful things about her. Does she have aspirations of playing college volleyball somewhere?
She does. She does. Absolutely. I mean, she enjoys it. We're a couple more tournaments left, you know, thankfully. But yeah, she definitely enjoys it. You know, mom played here at the University of Florida, so she enjoys watching it. So it's been fun to watch. So,
she got all the athleticism from mama, right?
You ask her mom, she would say yes. I would kind of defer to me. So,
last thing before we let you go, Reggie, I should have told you I was going to ask you this, but I ask all the former players that play for the HBC to give us a good mm-hmm. story. You got a good story on old Spur Dog?
Yeah. So it kind of ties into when we was talking about me committing to Florida State. Story behind that was I committed there on a Saturday night on my official visit. He was supposed to be at my house that Sunday for my home visit when I came back from Tallahassee. Well, I guess somehow, I don't know, I didn't call him, so I don't know how he found out, but it was him, and I think it was Pruitt was the defensive coordinator, I think, at that time. So, and they were at a restaurant, getting ready to, you know, to drive to Mayo. Somehow they got word that I committed to Florida State. And the story, and he still, I mean, the first time I saw him when he first came back, he still tells the same story. But he's like, yeah, well, me and, you know, Pruitt, we're sitting there and just, you know, hey, you know, I guess we're not going to the big city of Mayo. So he's like, yeah, we just got a beer. Say, here's to me, you, and Reggie McGrew. And he just says he toasted, and that was it. So, but I mean, almost every time he tells me, he sees me, he's like, yeah, I remember having a beer. He's like, yeah, just me, you, and Reggie McGrew. I was just like, so, but yeah, that's probably one of the funniest ones that he tells me. But obviously with him, there's so many. So, you know,
that's good stuff. Well, Reggie, we appreciate you taking the time to join the program. Get those boys bigger, stronger, faster down in the weight room.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you soon, my man.
All right, Shane. Take care, man.
That's Reggie McGrew. Join us on the Tight No More Hotline. I'm going to take our final time out of the program. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Tuesday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogre Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios at Center State Bank. We put business first. We're the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations. Center State Bank, member FDIC. I want to thank Buddy Martin for joining us. Also want to thank Big Reggie McGrew joining the program. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Make sure you tell all your folks to follow our program. We got a good one lined up tomorrow. We'll have JC and we're going to have Johnny Damon play for the Red Sox and the Yankees. He's also was a Gator recruit, but he decided to go pro. Today's show is a wrap brought to you by Wrap Spot. Be safe, folks. See you tomorrow.